Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
A little early, but I won't be able to come to each of your houses to wish you Merry Christmas. So, Merry Christmas. It's good to be here and to celebrate our Lord and to honor Him by His coming and being our Savior and dying for our sins and taking our sins. And the Bible, the Psalm says, is casting them as far as the east is from the west. And that's a good distance because you can go west eternally and you'll never go east. So just thank Jesus for that. Thank God for sending Him. And we just thank You for being here today as we celebrate our Lord. No particular announcements. To remind you, though, we will not have church on Wednesday night. Just remember that. Also, remember to pray. We have many in our church sick. We have lost some friends through the church families. And Brother John's grandfather, Carson Arrington, passed away yesterday afternoon. A friend of my daughter's who found out 3 weeks ago she had cancer passed away this past Friday. Kelly Gates, so remember that family. And there's many others in our church family that are sick and hurting, so remember them and remember to pray for them. You'll get a prayer list, so please take it seriously and individually as you go down through there. Just name those people if you know them and picture them in your mind and remember their needs, because all of us have needs. As one of our former pastors has said, if you don't have a crisis in your life or in your family or death in your family or someone that you know is sick, just hang on. It will happen. And so we're just thankful that we're here today and you're here today to bring blessings to our Lord. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and pray. Father God, we just thank You for this day. We just thank You for loving us. We thank You for being our Savior, to come in the form of man, to suffer in the form of man, to know all and experience all that mankind experiences, and yet You were sinless. And Father, we just thank You for that, for sending Jesus to be our Savior. He was born a man, a child, but He grew up to be a man. And He suffered through His manhood, through His ministry. He was tempted, but never sinned. He was chastised, but He never lifted a hand. We just thank You, Lord, for being our Savior. Thank You, Jesus, for dying for us and for living for us. And we just ask You to be with us this day and this season as we not forget what Christmas is all about. It's good to get presents and give presents and have the fellowship of a season and time together with family, but that's not what Christmas is about. It's about You, Lord. And that's why we want to sing praises to You today. Through the choir and through the congregation, we bring glory to You, not to ourselves, but to You. And we just thank You for this day. Thank You for loving us enough to die for us. And thank You for our church family. And we just pray, Lord, for the needs of each one here today and those that can't be here because of sickness or illness or death. But You know the reason. Father, we just ask You to continue to bless us and watch over us and give mercies to us as You please. We ask each blessing in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you.
In those days, that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn.
Did you know that
Shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came unto them, and the glory of the Lord shone around about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be the sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men.
Until the glory, 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 oh, give us the
came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph, and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told to them concerning this child, and all that they had heard, and how he had wondered at those things which they were told to them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things, and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them.
Thank you. Wonderful job, choir. Wonderful job, and thankful for it. As you take your Bibles and you turn to the book of Matthew this morning, today's a little bit of a different day, and we're going to do things a little bit different this morning. What you've heard is the Christmas story. You've heard the most of it, but what we know about the Christmas story and what we believe about the birth of Jesus Christ affects what we believe about Jesus through His life and through His resurrection, death, burial, and resurrection. We believe that Jesus was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of a virgin. There's some people want to debate on that, but if we change that truth right there, then it changes everything else, because we believe that Jesus is 100% God and 100% man. If He was not conceived of the Holy Ghost, then He is not divinity. We believe that Jesus was born of a virgin. Why? Because that's what was prophesied. We believe that He was born in the city of Bethlehem, where His forefather David came from as a king. And we believe today that He died on the cross for our sins. We believe that He rose again on the third day. And we believe that before too long, He is coming back to claim those who have accepted Him as Lord and Savior. And so right now, I just want to take a few minutes as you open up to the book of Matthew. And we're just going to be in silence today. But today is about giving a gift to the King. It's His birthday. So right now, whether you want to give Him your life, whether you want to give Him praise, whether you want to give Him glory, I want to invite you to come and to bow down on this altar, or maybe come to me if you want to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And for you to come, I'm going to take a moment and I'm going to just give Him praise this morning. And if you would like to come forward and join in with that, then you so be it. But I also want you to know that this altar is open all service long. And you can come at any time. But it's about giving a gift to our King. What did you bring today to give to the King? The altar's open if you would. Yes, ma'am. Dear Heavenly Father, in the wonderful and precious name of Jesus, I come to you this morning. Lord, just thanking you and specifically stopping and recognizing what time of year it is and what this celebration is all about. And that is about the arrival of the Messiah. That our God and our Lord stepped down from His throne, from His seat of majesty, away from the angels beckoning and declaring His holiness. And Father, you robed yourself in flesh and brought your riches to a sin poverty world. And you gave us your riches and you took our sin so that we could have a relationship with you. Heavenly Father, Lord, I know today, Heavenly Father, that there is nothing that Jesus I could give you that's worthy of who you are and what you've done. But God, today I do seek to give you this service right now, that it be yours for the glory and for your honor, as we already have done with our deacons and with the choir and in and of ourselves, Lord. I give you who I am today, Lord, asking that you take complete and utter control in this service. And Lord, that Jesus be lifted up and that Jesus be made much of. And God, that we will worship you and celebrate you, the true meaning of Christmas, the worship and celebration of the Messiah, that today, God, we'll make much of your Son. God, I ask you today to forgive me of my sins and forgive me of my failures. And God, I pray that you'll be lifted up. And Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for who I am in you. I thank you, Lord, that you have hold on to me and that you've got my name in your book. And it's not about what I do today, but it's all about what you've done. And God, I praise you, and I'm thankful that somewhere, maybe even in here today, someone is receiving a new life by faith in Christ Jesus. Lord, we pray for those that can't be with us. We pray for those that are bereaved, such as the Gates family and the Arrington family. Others, Lord, that are fighting depression. God, we pray that the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ that shone round about on the night that His birth was proclaimed will fill their lives and fill their hearts. But Lord, right now, as we go to Your Scripture, I pray Your name be lifted up. And thank You, Lord, for loving us enough that Jesus came as a babe. And God, we give You all the glory and honor in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Let me help you up, sister. As you turn to the book of Matthew, we'll be in chapter 2, but I do want to remind you that nobody loves you like Jesus. Nobody's done so much for you as Jesus. And if you're willing today, if you'll let Him, the Bible says, whosoever will, He'll do even greater things than you could ever imagine. But before we go into our sermon, A Gift of It for a King, I do want to give you an opportunity just to give praise and glory to the Lord this morning. Is there anyone today that has a word of praise or a word of testimony? Amen. Amen. Thank you, brother. That was a good segue. Tonight's going to be, as far as I know, the last opportunity that we have to come together corporately and to recognize the birth of our Lord and Savior. Now, I've got a sermon on, I think I'm going to preach on an overlooked hero. But if you come tonight and you have a testimony in your heart, we might just get carried away with the testimony. But just purpose in your heart that I'll give Him the last Sunday night before Christmas. Give you that. We're going to talk a little bit about Joseph. Anyone else got a word of praise or testimony? Yes, sister.
Well, I told you all that I would not let the devil silence me. And in Paul Harvey's tradition, this is the rest of miracles.
Amen.
And I want you to know that God delivered my pillow.
Amen.
As promised.
Amen. And she got good pillows, too, or she had good pillows. I slept on some of them pillows before. Anyone else this morning? Yes, Omar. Thank you, brother. Anyone else? All right, if you would stand with me. We're going to be focusing on Matthew chapter 2. We've heard the birth of our Lord. Now I want us to look a little bit later on in the life of our Lord Jesus Christ. You've know this scripture and heard it preached many times. Matthew chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." When Herod the king heard these words, he was troubled, and all of Jerusalem with him. And when he, meaning Herod, and from what we've studied about Herod, Herod was ruled from about 37 B.C. till about 4 A.D. Herod gathered all the chief priests and the scribes of the people together, and he demanded of them where the Christ should be born. And they said unto him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet in Micah chapter 5 verse 2, and thou Bethlehem in the land of Judah art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people." Then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star had appeared. And Herod sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search diligently for the young child. And when ye have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also." When they heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it had come and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, notice it's not in a stable or in a manger anymore. They're in a house. They saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream, they, the wise men, should not return to Herod, they departed unto their own country another way. You may be seated as we go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, once again, we're thankful for this day. Thankful for the message that we've heard in song today. God, I pray over the next few moments you give us the ability to focus, and that we may be blessed through your word, changed by your word, and challenged by your word. I pray, God, that you be with those that are watching us over Facebook as well, that you be with them. And Lord, again, we invite you, Holy Spirit, into our midst. In Jesus' name, amen. Christmas, if we break it down, it means to worship the promised one or the expected one that was to come into humanity. The public celebration is the idea of Christmas. Now, there is to be those times that we gather in our home and we worship and we celebrate Christ. But the idea of Christmas is a public or a corporate gathering to worship and recognize the coming of the promised ones. That's why I challenged you to come back tonight for the idea of Christmas to be fulfilled in our lives. As we have talked about wanting to celebrate Christ this year, as we've looked at it in the past few sermons, the first one that we looked at was keeping Christ in Christmas. And we came from Luke. And we talked about that we must make a specific and a precise effort to keep the culture and our economy from robbing us of the true meaning of Christmas, which is to worship Christ, to make much of the Messiah. And so in doing that, we have to be specific on what we do. And so I challenged you with some specific traditions and rituals that are commonplace in much of our lives and commonplace in much of our homes, but they have no real point behind them. To take those rituals, and I even talked about some of the history behind them. The Christmas tree, how that it originally came from pagan and ungodly traditions, but that we, the people of Christ Jesus, have the opportunity to take it and to make it a reminder of the original sin, where they ate from the tree of the garden of good and evil. The reminder of the tree that Jesus so willingly laid His life down and for the forgiveness of our sins and the reconciliation of fallen man to their Creator. And the evergreen tree, the idea that there is eternal and everlasting life in Jesus Christ, who is not bound in the grave but sits at the right hand today interceding on our behalf. And there's the poinsettia. I went to a Christmas play and I put a little pop quiz on my daughter about what the poinsettia was and what it could do, and she failed it miserably. So I'm not going to put that quiz on you today. But she's talking about me right now. She is. Talking about how bad a daddy she's got. No, when we look at the poinsettia, we're reminded that the center of it, the yellow, I don't know what they're called, but they're little yellow things. But they look like a star bus, a busting. And it's a reminder of the star that led the wise men to the place where the young child was. Then we look at the leaves on the bush, the bright red, and how that's a reminder of the crimson blood that was shed by Christ Jesus for the remission and the cleansing of our sins. But also, as I studied a little bit further, found out that the poinsettia is one of the only plants that can thrive in the coldness of winter. And we know what comes in winter, death. But Jesus is the only one who was able to enter into the coldness of death and triumph over it. We also saw that it's able to remove formaldehyde. This is where she failed. It was able to move formaldehyde out of the environment. Formaldehyde is linked with customs of death. But Jesus is able to take the formaldehyde, the customs of death out of our life and provide us with life and that eternally. And then we're also reminded that in certain areas, the poinsettia is used for hair and wart removal. You say Jesus is able to take the ugly out of your life and to put the beauty back into it. But not only that, it's also used for teeth, tooth pain, mouth pain. And God can take the pain out of your life and provide joy everlasting. And then there was the star. many theories about how the star and what the star was, but it's a supernatural thing that led others to the place where the Messiah was at. Last week we talked about the Christmas wishes, hopes, and promises. How that this time of year there are millions of people that have different Christmas hopes and different Christmas wishes, while at the same time there are many people making Christmas promises. And while some of those will be met, some hopes will come true, some wishes will be found, and some promises will be kept, the majority of Christmas wishes and hopes and promises will fall flat. But in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, it says that we have a God that is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we could think or all that we could ask. And we saw how that the world, specifically Israel, was in need and had a wish for a king. And they had a desire for a Savior and a Deliverer. And so God provided that in Christ Jesus, but He didn't do just the bare minimum. But He provided the King of Kings, the Savior of all Saviors, and the Deliverer of all Deliverers. And then we looked at different promises that surrounded the birth of Jesus Christ. And how that, in the prophecies that surrounded it, like where He would be born and who He would be born to, and that she would be a virgin when Jesus was born. And we see that we have promises that God makes to us today, and in the same fashion that He met those promises at the birth of Jesus Christ, there is not one promise that He has made you as an individual or us as a people, a Christian people, that He will not fulfill. And so this morning, it's the last Sunday that we have to set apart for the birthday of Christ as a group. And I think that we've probably all took time to consider, well, if you're like me, you make sure your wife takes time to consider all this, but we've looked at what we ought to get our children, teachers, what we had to buy for the office exchange, the family dirty or secret Santa, and what we need to get for our spouse and all that, and we've considered all those things, but have we truly considered the gift that we're to bring to our King today? What we can give to Him. What we can, because I mean, there ain't a one of us that at least doesn't expect the card on our birthday. At least someone to acknowledge it and to make much of it. And at least in a little bit. But what about our King? Have we purpose in our heart? What is the attitude? What is the attitude in our hearts about giving something to the King? Do we even care, or have we even considered that it's His birthday and that we, His people, ought to bring something before Him? And so today I want us to quickly look at some things. Notice the first thing I want us to look at is the attitude of the hearts between Herod and the wise men. The attitude of the heart between Herod and the wise men. Look in verses 4 and 6, 4 through 6 of chapter 2 in Matthew. And when he, Herod, had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. Now the scribes and the chief priests, that's the Sanhedrin. These were the religious leaders of the nation of Israel. And they knew, they were told where, how, all the prophecies that we looked at this year as we celebrated. They had all these prophecies, but yet they were unwilling to believe that this was Messiah. They was unwilling to accept the Messiah. But when those came along that wanted to receive Him as Messiah, they were able to point them in the right direction. So it was not like Jesus was born in secret. Now it was a low, it wasn't extravagant or anything like that, but it was a low-key birth. But if they wanted to see it, they could have seen it. And in verse 5 it says, "And they, the leaders, said unto Herod, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet," and that's in Micah chapter 5 verse 2, "And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least of the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people." Now remember, a while ago I said that from what we know about Herod, and this is Herod the Great, this is the beginning of the lineage of the Herods, he probably lived between 37 B.C. and 4 A.D. and was ruler over Israel. And according to AncientHistoryEncyclopedia.com, he lived as a Jew and generally respected the Jewish laws. So that means his culture was wrapped up in Jewish style living. If this is true, it would explain Herod's understanding and concern with the prophecies of the King of Kings, or the one that is born King of Kings. He knew that there was a prophesied one that was coming. Now Herod, he was an irrational, self-focused type king. Listen at some of the things that is said about Herod. Some facts about him. In 4 BC, Herod the Great was concerned about different groups and factions within his kingdom, and he was scared that these groups were going to overthrow him and try to take his throne. And because of these concerns, listen, he had his own flesh and born firstborn son killed at the age of 42. Now, think about it. That's how genuinely he wants to keep the throne and make sure nobody else. If he's willing to kill his own son, then he's not worried about anybody else having to be killed for it. But listen, he also was concerned that no one would mourn his death. He had many Pharisees in prison. According to the First Christian Primer by Matthew Utley, he had many Pharisees in prison. And when Herod died, they were to be crucified so that the area around him would mourn at the time of his death. Now this is a wicked man. This is an ungodly king. In Matthew 2:3, and when Herod the king heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem went with him. And we know what happens, that Herod figures up, he said, where was he born? He wanted to know when he was born and all that. And using the wise men and using the wisdom and the knowledge of the Pharisees and the Sadducees around them, remember what he did? He had in Bethlehem, he had every child under the age of 2 years old killed. This was also prophesied in the Old Testament. But he had all them killed. Now I want you to notice this. Herod's heart at this Christmas, at the first Christmas, Herod was not worried about having or giving a gift to the king of kings. He was not worried about recognizing Jesus as the Messiah, as the promised and anointed one. He was worried about getting what he wanted. In Herod's heart, there was only one God, one king, one that should be recognized, one that should be took care of, one that should get what they want, and that was him. And many times today, we, even those that profess as Christians, we've been talking about this on Sunday nights in our 1 Corinthians study, we put ourselves on the throne of our own hearts. And what's most important in our lives is getting what we want, what makes us happy, and what makes us feel concerned. Listen, the Bible describes a backslider, or one that has slipped away from their relationship with God, in Proverbs chapter 14, verse 14. The backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways. A good man shall be satisfied within himself. See, the backslider puts self as number one. Think about how easy it is to make everything, even our religion, about us. We make church about us. We make church about what we want, what we like, and what makes us comfortable. We don't expect any responsibility from our church. We don't want to give anything to the church, not even our time. But we want to get from our church anytime we need anything from our church. We make our Christian service about us. I do this, I do that, I give this comparatively to anybody else. I'm a pretty good person. And listen to this. Listen to this. I want you to think about this baby that was born. He came from the throne of heaven, gave it all up, came here to be mocked, spit upon, and rejected by his people, to be nailed upon a cross, to be whipped on his back, to be punched in the face, and all that. And yet, and you know why he did it? He did it to come and save us. But yet we make salvation less about him and more about us. We make it about not having to give an answer for our sins. Come today. And even as preachers we do it. Come today and your sins will be forgiven. Come today and you'll not have to go to hell. Come today and your name will be written and you'll have a mansion in heaven. And all that is true, but all of it's true because of Jesus. You see how easy it is. And it's Christmas. It's really easy to do it when you've got the whole world pushing you to do it. And all that. So, what is your attitude this year? Is your attitude, oh, thank you now, I've got everything borrowed up, I've got everything in the house, all I got to do is cook this and cook that, and once I get that cooked, then everything, whoo, I should be happy when Christmas goes. Because we can get like that. Is it about the gift exchange? Whoo, I think I got everything. Oh my goodness, so-and-so was sure hard to buy for. I had to stop four different places to get everything for them, but praise God, I've got it all now. We got to make sure that the play starts on time and ends on time and works into the right development. Oh, it's Christmas time, I get these days off. Or is it about Jesus came because He loved me enough to give it all up? Think about that. He loved you enough to give it all up. To give the throne, to give the angels up. Robe Himself in flesh. There's nothing wrong with making much of those ideas. But when we make them, when we make anything else other than Him the center focused, then really we're making ourselves the focus of it. You see, Herod put himself as number one on the first Christmas. Now, I don't know what Christmas this would be, but we have a choice today to make it about us or we can make it about Him. And it all begins with the attitude of our heart, because then we look over at the wise men. Look in verses 1 through 2 first. It says, "And now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is He that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen His star in the east and are come to worship Him." And then jump to verse 8. "And he, Herod, sent them to Bethlehem and said, Go and search diligently for the young child. And when ye have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. When they had heard the king, they departed. And lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they were come into the house, not stable, they saw the young child, not a baby, but a child, with his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country in another way." Now, we know that Herod was important to himself, but look at these wise men. They knew that something special had happened here. And I want us to recognize that Jesus was not a babe. He was a child up at this point. And you look that word up and it says he was a toddler, meaning that some time had passed. We also look and we see that he was not in the manger type scene, but he was in a home. Why is this important? Because when we consider the heart of these men that came to him, we've got to recognize that it took time and effort. And when they saw that star and when they found the place that Jesus was, it says in verse 10 that when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. They were excited to find that this Jesus, everything that they had put in front of them, everything they had made important in their life, they finally saw it and made more sense to them. We know, listen, the star, why is it important that that they weren't in the manger, but they were in a home and he wasn't a baby, but he was a child? Because the star, we know that the star had appeared earlier. But it seems like they had to travel some while to get there. Many scholars believe that it took them 2 years from first seeing the star to getting to where Jesus was. Their heart was committed to finding Him. It didn't matter the time. It didn't matter where it took them to. They were willing to invest their effort and their time to go find this Jesus and to present a gift to Him today or on that day. Notice something else. Think about the distance they had to travel. Now, I don't know if they were riding camels or they were walking, but still, they wasn't getting more than about 20 miles a day. And they traveled for 2 years. Think about the distance they had to travel. But the distance was what was important to them. The purpose of getting to Jesus was what was important to them. And to get their gifts to the King, that was what was important to them. And then also think about this. Praise God, it's dangerous to travel today. But think about then, man, you were on the road. There were thieves and people all around you, especially if you were dressed in a certain way or if they knew you had certain stuff. They were taking their life in their hands by following and pursuing this star that led them to Jesus. But the purpose in their heart was to make much of Jesus. So time, space, distance, safety didn't matter. It was about bringing the gift to the Messiah. I mean, look at the difference in the hearts that we have there. And today, if we truly want to make Christmas about Christ, then we've got to discern in ourselves, is my heart in the proper place to bring a gift to Jesus? Or have I made it about me? Or is no time too much, no effort too great, no price too big for me to give the proper present to the King at this time? Let me ask you this. They looked forward to, or they took joy in giving their life to present the present or to present the gifts. Is Jesus worth you or me today giving our lives to give the King the gift He deserves? The Bible teaches that this young boy that the wise men visited grew up to be a man of love and compassion. He was obedient to God and to the law. He healed the sick, gave sight to the blind, and raised the dead. He was perfect in every sense of the word. But still, he was arrested, chosen above a murderer to be released before him. He was beaten with a whip that had 9 lashes. And then in Matthew 27, verse 28, it begins to say that they stripped him and dressed him with a scarlet robe. They twisted together a crown of thorns and put it on his head and placed a staff in his right hand. And then they, the guards, kneeled down before him and mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." They spat on him and took the staff and kept hitting him on the head. Now think, this is the baby that grew up to be the man that took licks upon his head for you and me. The Bible goes on to tell us that when he was nailed to the cross, he was hung up between two thieves. And then Luke 23, verse 45, it says, "And Jesus called out with a loud voice, 'Father, into your hands I entrust my spirit,' saying this with his last breath." But before he said this, he said, "Forgive them, for they know not what they do." This little infant we recognize and celebrate grew up to be the Lamb of God. And in obedience to the Father, he laid down his life for all that would receive him. In fact, if we think about it, he gave himself up for us twice. As Creator and God, he stepped down from his throne, lowered himself in position from Creator to be a part of his creation. He put on an earthly robe. And then two, when Jesus gave himself as a substitute or as a payment for the punishment of my sins. And he says, the Bible says, for the sins of the whole world. Again, I ask us, is Jesus worth giving ourselves to? To some, Christ is worth nothing more than a reason to get off and to give and get presents. To some, Christ is worth coming to church on Christmas and Easter to recognize that He did live. To some, He's worth a dunk in the water and a name on a church roll. But then there are those that Jesus Christ is worth giving up their own wants, desires, and plans to live His life for them. Jesus Christ came as a gift to all that will receive Him. The Lord, the Savior, the perfect sacrifice, and the soon coming King and Deliverer. There is no greater gift that could be given. The Bible says, no greater love than a man hath than to lay down his life for his friends. And on this, His birthday, there is no greater gift that we could give than to give Him our life. But I want us to quickly look at the gifts that He received. Matthew chapter 2, verse 11, it says, "And when they were come into the home, and they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshiped him, and they opened their treasures. They presented him with gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. They're still in Bethlehem. He's still a child. But this is a fulfillment as they come to him and they fall down and they worship him. In Isaiah it says, the multitudes of camels shall cover thee, the dromedaries of Midian and Ephah. All they from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and incense. They shall show forth the praises of our God. And they fell down. This is the promise. This is a fulfillment from the Old Testament as we see these three magi or wise men falling down before him. But we also see that one of the first things that's mentioned that was given to him was a yellowish metal or a great valued iron. What is it called? Gold. Gold. Gold is a picture of deity. We think about how, when you think about gold, you think about royalty. One of the biggest fairy tales that was King Midas, and how that he wanted so much gold that he had a spell cast on him, and so that everything that he touched would be his gold. But see, they were looking to the deity of Jesus Christ. They were looking to the kingship, of Jesus Christ. Most men had to earn the name king and idol, and Lord and leader and all that. But this man, this young baby, he didn't have to earn it. He was born with it, and the heavens declared it over him. He was born king. He was born Lord. He was born deliverer. Why is that important? Because some people today believe that Jesus wasn't the Son of God until he was touched on the day of baptism. No, he was God from birth. He was God from when he was conceived. He was God all the way through. He didn't earn anything. He already possessed it. And these men were recognizing him as king and as Lord. Let me ask you today, is Jesus your king? Is he your Lord? Is he willing for you to submit? Think about it. This is what you do when you come into the presence of a king. You don't stand before him. You bow before him. And even in olden times, medieval times, they would come before the king and they would grab his hand and hold his hand and they would place their head upon it and they would commit their lives to that king as long as he was on the throne. Let me ask you today, at this Christmas, are you willing to come and to bow before the King of Kings and grab his hand and lay your head down upon him and say, I submit my life to you for as long as you are king? Praise God. But not only that, what's the next thing that they said? Somebody tell me, because I ain't there yet. They gave him gold. What was the next thing? Frankincense. Frankincense is an expensive perfume made from the resins of trees and imported from Arabia. Frankincense was burned in the temple and used in meat offerings. It's a sign in Malachi chapter 1 verse 11, from the rising of the sun in the evening unto the going down of the same, my name shall be great among the Gentiles, and every place incense shall be offered unto my name, and a pure offering, for my name shall be great among the heathen and of the Lord of hosts. You see, it's symbolic. They would take this and they would place it, and you can look at it. I believe it's symbolic of two things. They would take it and they would place it on the altar. And it would burn, and they would mix it with oil, and it would burn, and it would offer up sweet smelling savors, it says, into the nostrils of our God. But they would also put it in their censers, you know, the things that would hang from the chain, and they would swing it, and it would come up out of that. But there's a picture here. One is the picture of the priesthood. Praise God, the Bible says that we have a high priest today who does not have to offer up an offering for himself. Why? Because he is the spotless lamb. And he entered into the Holy of Holies, praise God. And he entered in and he was able to lay down the blood of the sacrifice and able to stay in the presence of God Almighty. And today it says that he intercedes as a high priest would intercede on behalf of the nation of Israel. He intercedes on our behalf, but also it is a sense of worship. Of God. There's a picture of the deity of God there that they brought it before him. Why? Because he is, not only was he the King of Kings, but he is the God-man. The one who, God come down in the flesh, and praise God, we're to worship. But today, he does not ask us to burn incense on an altar or to have our censers and sling them around. What he desires is a love and a commitment coming out of a pure heart, passing across our lips as we lift up praise and honor to him today. Let me ask you this. Are you willing not only to fall down and to bow to Him as King of Kings, but were you willing today to bow down and to worship Him with an open mouth and say, He is worthy of me getting up and saying something. He is worthy of me declaring to the world that He is my God and my Savior. He is worthy of me bowing and bending of knee because He has made it right between me and my Creator. And then lastly, what was it gave him? Myrrh. Myrrh is specifically a fragrant plant that is used for anointing oil, but specifically in the life of Jesus, we can read over in the book of Mark chapter 15, verse 23, it says, "And they gave him drink, wine mingled with myrrh, but he received it not." You see, it was mixed together as a painkiller and an anesthetic. Now see, it would be weird for me today if you had a baby and me to walk in there with painkillers. But it wasn't here. You say, why? How did they know? Because see, they were familiar with the Scriptures. And whether they understood it or not, they were looking towards His sacrifice. You remember, that's what they did. They took and they anointed Him. When Joseph of Arimathea come and wanted the body, he wanted to be able to wrap it. That's when the women went down there that day. They were going to wrap him. But he was lifted up, already resurrected. But you see, today as we come to Him and we want to give Him the perfect gift today, we recognize Him as the King of Kings. We recognize Him as the High Priest and we worship Him for that. But also we have to recognize Him as the risen Lord. Not only was He born from a virgin, but He raised up from death, hell, and the grave. And the Bible teaches us this, that if we're going to give Him the only gift that matters to Him, that's our life. Listen to what Mark chapter 8, verse 34 and 35 says. Jesus, calling the crowd along with His disciples, He said to them, "If anyone wants to follow after Me, let him deny self, take up their cross, and follow Me. For whoever wants to save their life must lose it, but whoever loses their life because of Me and the gospel will save it." He laid down His life for us, and today we can give Him some things after we're saved, after we've given Him our life. But until we've given Him our life, there's nothing He'll receive from the hands of a sinful man. But I'd say that most of us in here today, we would say, if asked, that we've already given Him our life. We've already given it over to Him. And so let me ask you this. Have you given over to Him your service? Have you given over to Him your service? Again, think about these men. They gave of years of their life. They gave of effort of their life. They gave of time. I mean, basically, they put everything in their life on hold to visit and to find this Messiah. That's what He means when we're to give up our life daily. We're to lay everything of who we are in and of ourselves and to give it to Him. When the wise men arrived, they were partially going there. Remember, Herod said, when you go there, find Him and come back and tell me. However, when they left, we see in verse 12, "And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way." They acted on the truth of God on behalf of Christ Jesus in a way that was not like the way they had before. They left in a different way than they came. And praise God, if we come to Jesus, truly, if we give Him our life, then we're going to leave that place where we meet Jesus different than we did when we come. The Word of God says in John 15, 16, "You did not choose Me, but I chose you. I appointed you and to produce fruit, and that your fruit should remain, so that whatever you ask the Father in My name, He will give it to you." He says that I have chosen you, I have saved you for a purpose. And then He goes on to tell us in Colossians chapter 3, verse 17, that purpose. He says, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God hath prepared ahead of time for us to do." To do things, good things, that will positively influence the people around us for the kingdom of God. And those good works, we're told we're to do them not as unto men, but as unto God. The wise men gave of their wealth. They gave of their effort. They gave of their time to show their love and value towards the young Messiah. Again, I would dare say at least 95 to 99% of us in here today would say, we know Jesus, we've given Him our life. So as we look toward Christmas Day, the celebration of our Lord's birth, I want you to ask yourself these questions. Two questions. Basically, they're the same question. If we've given Him our life, the one thing, answer this question, the one thing that I do for Christ Jesus alone is, the one thing that I do to affect His kingdom and to positively influence those around me is, that's a hard question, ain't it? That's a tough question. But see, maybe that's the gift that we're to give today if we've given Him our life. It could be I teach Sunday school. I visit the nursing home. I do things that I've not told anybody about. You don't have to tell me. It's between you and the Lord. You see, after we give Him our life, the only other thing we can give Him is our service. Service means to attend to. Ye are bought with a price. Be not servants of men. 1 Corinthians 7:23. And then the last thing that we could give Him is souls. His souls. The Bible says that he that winneth souls is wise. Matter of fact, Jesus Christ, I can read you these scriptures. I've got many of them. But Luke 19:10 says, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which is lost. Mark chapter 2, verse 17, when Jesus heard this, He told them it was not those that were well who need a doctor, but those that are sick. And He said, I came not to call the righteous, but the sinner. And then in Luke 15:10, He said, I tell you in the same way, there is joy in the presence of God, angels over sinners who repent. There's rejoicing in the presence of God. So you see today, there's an option we can give Him. If we've never given Him our life, praise God, today that's what He wants. That's what He came for, is to receive the lives of whosoever will. Number two, then, there is our service. I do this for my Savior. I do this because of what He's done for me. And then lastly, we can be soul winners. And God never asked us to win them. He just told us to tell them. So today, as we consider this Christmas, and it's His birthday, we're going to give Him a gift. I'm going to ask you to stand with me right now for just a second and to bow your heads. The altar's open.